Welcome, all you liars, infidels, and fools. My name is Haley.
And my name's Brandy. And we are Easy Killer.
Easy Killer.
Easy Killer.
What up, Easy Killer?
What's up, guys? We always do that.
I'm gonna let Haley speak because
I was just gonna say that we are very thankful that you all have tuned in and listened to us after our last episode that we thought you guys were gonna hate us for.
Yeah, because I was really roasting old dude about that fucking haircut,
and we were laughing maybe a little too much. But you know what?
You know what? True crime is subjective, and we have to laugh at these things because
especially when they're so fucking funny.
How the fuck is putting in a goddamn diary? I gave her an ugly haircut after he fucking chopped her head up.
Yeah.
That is hilarious to me.
I couldn't get past the carrots and potatoes.
Oh my God. It's all coming back to me now. I feel like Celine Dion.
Is this a fucking cartoon? Is this Bugs Bunny sitting in the fucking pot roasting?
A quick backstory. If you did not listen to our podcast last week, Haley told me a story about this couple, and the guy basically fucking took her in, like killed his girlfriend, chopped her up in the bathtub. But before he chopped her up, he fucked her body and then
cut her hair
and said
gave her an awful haircut. And is what
he wrote in the diary, gave her an awful haircut.
Yeah, that was literally like part of his confession.
Yeah, and then he killed himself, and that's how everybody found out what happened. But still, to me, I thought it was fucking hilarious that he gave an ugly haircut, and I still could not get away from it. And good old Marge, remember Marge?
Yeah, Marge.
Good old fucking
that
Marge.
That was the best part of the story.
That was the best part of the story.
I really wish you have to watch that episode of show. I think it's called The Last Witness or something like that.
Oh, that. Oh, you mean the.
And they did it on that, and they interviewed Marge, and she was just
fucking
like,
Marge.
I knew something was up with her. I knew.
I've never seen a baby named Marge. Have you?
Oh, well, usually it's not Marge. Marge is like a.
Marjorie.
Name. Marjorie. Margaret.
Margaret. I've never seen a baby named Margaret. Have you?
No. I went to high school.
I've never seen a baby named Kathy.
I went to a high school with a girl named Margaret.
Really?
Yeah.
Where are these fucking people at?
Where are you at now, Margaret? I don't remember her last name.
But yeah, so we're going to each name three of our favorite, or maybe more, just depends.
Maybe more, maybe less.
Yeah, we don't know. We're going to play it by fucking ear because that's how we do things around here. And if you don't like it, goodbye.
Goodbye.
But I'd rather you rate us and tell us we're doing a good job.
But please don't leave.
But we're going to be talking about each of our three favorite true crime cases. So I'm going to let Haley start it out.
Oh,
boom,
God.
Boom, bang.
I'm starting it out, huh?
Haley's going to start it out. Well, and I'm here for the shits and giggles.
This one isn't really,
always.
Like, I wouldn't call it a favorite of mine. But it's the only one that I have the closest personal connection to.
Okay.
All right. So, let's see. How many years ago is this?
Oh.
2013. Okay. So, picture 2013. That was like.
God damn. Bailey was 1 year old.
That was in our bad dog heyday.
It was. Bailey was one.
Yeah. And as we've talked about before, that's how me and Brandy met, through an MMA gym.
Yes, we did.
And we used to always go out and fucking fuck shit up together. You weren't there all the time.
I wasn't there because I had a baby.
But you were there sometimes.
I was there spiritually, and they knew me very well. So
when we were all hanging out with all the bad dog people, we went to this place called O'Dolly's.
Oh, yeah. And I still go to O'Dolly's.
If you're from Louisville, you know what I'm talking about. All right. So O'Dolly's is like a hole in the wall bar, basically.
Yeah.
You know, and they do karaoke, and it's back in the day, like back in like 2013, it was a very much older crowd, and we were like the only young people that were there.
Right.
But since
I remember
then,
that.
Younger people have started catching on because there was a lot of, you know, good ways to drink underage, because I started going to O'Dolly's when I was 19. So I drank underage there for like 2 years before I turned 21. So, you know, college kids started catching on, and it started becoming like a college party spot, and that's when it started sucking.
Yeah, because I went there.
All of its fucking charm.
And I walked in there and I thought, oh God, I'm getting fucking old. Everybody in here looks like my son's age. Mm-hmm. And that's when I knew right there I needed to take my old ass home.
It took a turn for the worst few years after this. But anyways, if you have been to O'Dolly's around that period of time, you are familiar with a lady named Patsy.
Oh yeah, Patsy.
You know Patsy, right?
I know Patsy. Yeah, Lovey-dovey. Too?
Lovey-dovey.
Lovey-dovey. He's like his old ass Stan the Man. Yeah, yes.
Stan the Man. And he used to have a partner in crime that was Stone Dog.
Oh, yeah.
But Stone Dog ended up getting remarried. And he kind of left Stan the Man, like, hanging.
Left him alone.
Hanging by himself. He left him for that lovey-dovey. Yeah. So, anyways, this has nothing to do with the story. But Patsy does have to do with the story, okay? Mm-hmm. She's an older lady. And I don't really know how to explain her. You can't really explain her unless you've met her.
Yeah.
So,
just picture a lady named Patsy.
She's
and
very short.
She's wears like, leather a lot, like a glove. Yeah. Don't she wear a glove? Why do I think she wore a glove?
No.
Like a Michael Jackson glove. I don't know why I got that vibe.
I don't think so. Anyways.
Maybe not.
She's probably the best karaoke singer at O'Dolly's.
Yeah.
So,
I came in second to her a lot.
All right. So, fast forward or rewind, whatever. Okay. Patsy got engaged. She lived two doors down from O'Dolly's, so she was there all the time. So, me and Dusty, like, started, like, you know, talking and hanging out, you know, while we're there, going out on the patio, smoke cigs, good stuff, you know. And she got proposed to. She met this guy, and he proposed to her at O'Dolly's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we knew him as
We knew him as
his name was David something. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was David something, maybe. I don't know. That's beside the point. But anyways, we knew him as a different name than what his real name was.
Mm.
He was living under an alias.
I bet you he was.
So they got engaged. They were planning their wedding. Everything was great. He seemed like a decent guy. We were happy for Patsy. You know.
Yeah, because Patsy needed love.
Everybody needs love, man, you know? So, we were happy that she finally found it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, this was in March of 2013. He lived in Jeffersonville, Indiana.
Okay.
Okay. And he was still with Patsy at this time, but he had another, like, live-in girlfriend.
Okay. Did Patsy know about it?
No.
Nope. Okay.
Nope. She had no idea.
Damn.
So they lived in this apartment together, and there was like a younger couple that lived down the hall from them. Tara Rose Willenberg was her name.
Good Lord, that's a name.
She was 17, and her boyfriend was like 19 or something like that. And they lived in this apartment together, and every now and then they would like hang out. They would hang out with the guy David and his girlfriend, who wasn't Patsy.
Oh, okay.
It was his extra girlfriend he had laying around. So one night, they would, like, go over there and, like, hang out and, like, drink and, like, smoke weed and, like, all that stuff. And so one night, he left, her boyfriend left and went to work, and old dude's girlfriend wasn't home. So he goes over to her apartment, knocks on the door, and he's like, hey, do you want to hang out? And she's like, yeah, sure, you know, whatever. So, like, he comes in and they're hanging out. They're, like, smoking weed, watching TV, whatever. So, apparently, he then tries to, like, make a move on her.
The girl?
Yeah. The 17-year-old girl.
You?
Yeah.
The fuck is wrong with people?
He tried to make a move on her, and I guess she, of course, like, you know, turned him down.
As any 17-year-old would when an old creepy fucking man tries to hit.
Yeah.
I hate that shit.
And then, so, after, I don't know exactly what happened after that, but, like, he got pissed, and he ended up raping her. And while he was raping her, he was, like, on top of her, and was, like, strangling her, or whatever. And he strangled her to death.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, after this had happened, Patsy obviously finds out about it because, like, the dude comes home from work and finds his girlfriend
murdered.
Like, yeah, dead. And he had, like, immediately ran over to the David's house, the killer's house,
right,
apartment, knocks on his door and is like, please call 911. My girlfriend's dead. Like, I don't know what happened. Something happened. And he was, and the dude was like, David was like, oh yeah, okay, I'll call him. And he like shut the door. Didn't call him because he was the one that fucking killed her. So,
oh my God.
My friend ends up calling the cops or whatever. And I can't remember exactly how, what the investigation part happened, but it was a pretty fast turnaround. He killed her and then he was like immediately like popped for it.
Right.
Yeah.
Because he probably so fucking.
Then we find out that his name is actually Richard Hooten. Okay.
Okay.
And he has like a fucking mile long rap sheet. All right.
How do people just live under aliases and never get caught?
Raped, robbed multiple women in the 80s, 90s, and all this other stuff. And then, actually, on New Year's Eve, the prior New Year's Eve, he raped and robbed a woman in O'Dolly's parking lot.
What the fuck?
He asked her to take her home, to take give him a ride home, and when he got in the car, he raped her, and then he stole her money, and then he left, and left her there.
Mm, that's sad.
Yeah.
Who the fuck does that to women?
So Patsy was on the news. I remember watching her on the news. I was like, oh my God.
Things She's have come wild. I'm not circle. Laughing at the situation. I'm laughing at Patsy. Yeah. Okay. Is she still alive?
Yes, I think. Good I God. I haven't been to O'Dolly's in like years.
I was just at O'Dolly's over the summertime.
I know like the last few times I have gone, she's not around. Last I heard, she actually met a guy, not a murderer. She actually got married at O'Dolly's.
Huh.
Which is pretty much very on brand for her.
Good for Patsy, man. She found love so, in a broken yeah, place.
I don't know if they're still together. I'm assuming, I'm hoping, I'm praying, I'm, you know.
Right.
We want the best for you, Patsy.
I was at O'Dolly's just this past in July.
I haven't been since they reopened it.
And it was fun. Or June. It was fun.
Was it like old people there?
Nobody was there, bitch.
Hell
nobody.
Yeah, that's what
and
I
literally,
like.
There was nobody there. Like there was no karaoke, there. But we got to play. We was playing old
was
school
no
Tupac. We was playing all kind of rap shit. It was
there
fun.
Was there was no karaoke,
though? No, bitch. I that's what I was going for, just the karaoke.
Right.
You know how I like karaoke-ing. I can sing a tad bit.
A little bit, yeah. No, I'm just kidding. You're
no,
good.
It's okay.
You're all actually right. Good. I'm horrible. You don't want to hear me sing.
I want to hear you sing John Denver. I don't know, Jim Croce.
Which one do you want?
Oh no,
I can do both.
I'm not 100% sure yet, but I know one of them.
Yeah, so that was my story of how I came into contact and used to like we would like hang out all the time. We never hung out outside of O'Dolly's, but like there were times when like Dusty and Patsy like went inside and me and the dude were like out on the patio.
Right, he could have raped you. He could have murdered you.
I know, it was so weird.
That is so surreal when you like, you know, you end up in a situation like that when somebody could like fucking kill you and you didn't even know it. Everybody should be worried about me because I would do that to you in a heartbeat. No, I'm joking. I sound like a psychopath. I'm not. I'm a lady.
You know, Patsy turned me in like a week before my 21st birthday.
What do you mean?
She turned me into the bartender.
Well, no wonder why she has a shitty love life. She's around doing stupid shit.
No, because like we had went up there like for 2 years before I turned 21.
Oh yeah.
And Dusty made I was always really close, tight lipped about
Dusty's
my age.
Ass. Gave,
Dusty's
gave away.
Always like, guess what? She's only 19, and I'm like. And he's like, they don't care. They're not. I'm like, it doesn't matter.
Patsy
if they
cared. She was. It was about them.
Do anything. They just don't need to know that.
Right.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, and like he told Patsy, and I was like, don't tell people that. And he told her. And literally a week before my 21st birthday, I don't know what was up her ass that night, but she was like in a pissy mood, and she went to the bartender, and she told him I wasn't 21. And they came over to me, and they said, are you 21? And I said, yes. And they said, let me see your ID. And I had a fake ID, so I handed them my ID. And they said, well, you have an ID that says you're 21, so you're 21. And I was like, yep, sure fucking am.
Right. Fucking Patsy. I'd have been flipping her off from the corner. I hope your fucking boyfriend kills
mad.
You, bitch.
I was very hurt. I was like, Kayla, you turned me in, Patsy. Shit.
I'd have been like, fuck you, Patsy.
What
it's done between
do
both
you?
Of us. It's over with you because I'm not fucking with you.
So, yeah.
That's some horror
that was my
shit.
Story. That was story number one, but Brandy's got a story now about her run-in with a serial killer. Mine wasn't a serial killer. He was more of a serial rapist.
Mine was a very famous
killer.
Serial killer, but he was the railroad killer. Mm-hmm. And, of course, at the time, I didn't realize that this was even going on because I was fucking poor and ain't like I watched the news. And when I was 13 or 14, I was fucking ripping and running. You couldn't tell me shit. So where I grew up at was in the duplexes off of Southside Drive in Louisville, Kentucky. And I had a friend that lived over off of Southside Drive on Alvena. And sometimes the quickest way to go, back in the day, we had things like a curfew. And if you fucking got caught without the curfew, they take you to your mom. And I wasn't trying to be, my mom was into drugs and shit. I wasn't trying to be fucking getting the police over there.
Right.
And I was like,
she'd be like, God damn it.
She wouldn't give a fuck about me being in trouble. She would have been fucking pissed about the police showing up at her house.
Right.
So I was like, one night, I remember hearing about some killer, but I thought for some reason he was like in Texas. I never put two and two together.
Well, didn't he travel?
Yeah, well, I'm stupid and didn't know that he did.
Did he like hop trains and shit, right?
Yeah, bitch. So, one night,
what's his name? Do you know his name?
Yeah, I'm about to tell you. Okay. Angel Marito Resendez.
We're just gonna call him Angel.
We're gonna call him Angel. I don't know how to say it in Spanish, but it's Angel, okay?
Angel's Angel in Spanish, ain't
it? Is it? Jose? No, that's God, right?
No.
Fuck, is that me? Shit, I need to learn Spanish.
Jesus is Jesus.
That's what I thought. I knew I got mixed up. Jose. All right, so one night, mind you, I'm 13, 14 years old. My friend, whom I will not name, but he was a guy. I liked him. We was always like, he friend zoned me, so fuck him.
Fuck you if you're listening.
Yeah, you know who you fucking are, and everybody that knows me knows who you are right now.
Except for her.
I'll tell you when I get off. But he fucking friend zoned me. We were really good friends though, and not to lie, his mom did a lot for me, so I respect her. I'm not gonna say his name, but so I was bored. And I went over there, and I walked over there from, like, which is, like, not a half a mile. It's not even that far away. Yeah, Alvena Way.
Where did he live?
He lived on Alvena Way.
Where's Alvena?
It's, like, right past where it used to be, like, at Captain D's right there on Southside Drive where the curve goes.
Yep.
Like, right there where that fucking Meadow View Apartments right across from that. Okay.
It's not too far.
No, it ain't. And so, basically, he was just, like, sneaking me in. And I was like, cool. So I get to the part where I'm right there at National Turnpike. And as I'm getting there, I see a cop. So I kind of duck down and I know, oh, fuck, I need to hide. You know what I'm saying? Well, I was kind of freaked out. And then, like, I thought, you know what? Fuck it. Real fast, I'm going to run down the railroad tracks. That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to run down the railroad tracks. And I'm going to book that shit, okay? And I'm not going to look back, and I'm just going to run. It was dark. Like, it only had light right where the crossing, where the cars would cross over. But, you know, you go further down, it's completely black dark. Yeah. And I remember telling the guy, meet me at the end by the railroad tracks because...
Meet me at a spot.
Yeah. Caught a vibe. That's on fucking TikTok.
I hate that shit. I'm all about the song, but not the dance.
I know. Call a vibe. That's what they do in there all the time. We got ADD. So I fucking fly. So I'm like, fuck it. And I dip. I go and I start like doing a light jog. All right.
Light jog.
Down the railroad tracks. And I see this. It's like I seen somebody. And instantly, like a figure, but they were like kind of sitting down, mm-hmm. like, so I didn't really.
Was he behind you or in front of you?
Like, in front of me, you but I was already jogging, like, I had to pass him.
Right.
Because I, as women, we feel fucking rude, like, some shit's like, I didn't want him to think I thought he was a killer, but even though I thought he was a killer. you get what I'm saying?
You were right.
Sometimes that, and I was right, because I thought, this dude's creepy, why the fuck is he over here? And he was speaking in Spanish. He was sitting there, Indian style, on the ground, speaking in Spanish. And I just fucking...
To himself?
Yeah, so I ran past him. He was, like, sitting down. Because you're kind of up higher. He was kind of sitting down near the grass and leaves. I just remember, like, your leaves crunching. Okay, well, I run past him. No shit. The moment I got past him, I heard the leaves do that scary motherfucking, like, somebody just got off the leaves. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And, bitch... I don't know what happened. I don't know if it's from because I'm from the hood and I'm used to running. I don't know what it was. Something clicked in my brain like, you're about to die, bitch. Click. Yeah. And I fucking booked it. I don't know how the fuck I did it, but I heard his feet behind me. And I swear to God,
he
didn't.
He was chasing you?
Like, he was chasing me. Whoever
like,
this
like
was.
Running, chasing. Listen, not running. Just like Michael Myers
like,
chasing.
I'm not talking Michael Myers. No, no, no. I'm talking, I heard feet hit the fucking.
You're talking Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Leatherface.
Yes, chasing after me. Okay, and I was so scared.
Wow.
I think I peed on myself. I'm going to be completely honest. I was so scared. I did not look behind me. Because when you're running and you look behind you, it slows you down 10 times, you know. And yeah. I did not want to look at his face and that'd be the last thing I see. Mm-hmm. If you're going to kill me, just knock me the fuck out now. But I don't want to look back and see your scary face coming to me.
I don't want to see your scary face.
So I just ran and then I could see the light and I could see, like, just the opening and where I needed to dip right. And, bitch, I did. And I jumped off the fucking railroad tracks. And I fucking booked it down the street. And I heard his feet behind me until I didn't hear him no more. And I literally was screaming down Alvina Way. All the way fucking down Alvina. Screaming at the top of my lungs. And I chalk it up at that. I went in his house and we smoked some weed. And all things were good. Like, I never thought about it. Till, like, a week later, they said that the railroad killer, and they started, like, he got caught in Texas. Mm-hmm. I still never put two and two together.
What year was this that this happened? Oh, do you know, like, how old you were, maybe? Or
I was, like, 14 or 15.
So,
hold on.
I don't know what year that was.
Hold on a minute. I want to say around 2000, 99, 2000 okay. is when this happened.
Yeah. And when did he get caught?
He got caught July of 99. So, okay. This had to be, like, maybe in the beginning of July. When he got, because it was literally like 10, or no, hold on. Yeah. He surrendered in Texas July 13th of 1999. This had literally been around the 1st of July because it was near my birthday, you know, because I'm July 22nd. And I'll just never forget it. Now, it could have been a coincidence and it could not have been him, but I swear to God.
Now, did you make the connection, like, later on, like, years later, or was it, like,
literally, right like, when I seen him on TV, and they said that how he would get his victims,
was the railroad,
and
you were like, oh, shit.
And I was like, and just something in me, like, I knew. I don't give a fuck. To this day, I still say it was him. I don't care what anybody tells me. Fuck you. Because why the fuck would a guy that looks just like this guy fucking be running and chasing me on a goddamn.
Well, he has.
And it all added up.
He had a victim in Lexington, Kentucky in 1997.
Yeah.
But that seems to be... He was in Illinois when he was captured, and that's not too far from here.
Maybe.
So he could have been, like, hopping a...
97. So, no. It could have been 97, 98. I was 13 or 14. I know I was still in middle school.
Well, his last victim was murdered on June 15th, 1999.
Yeah. So... And that was
in Gorham, Illinois. He actually shot two people, or killed two people that day.
Yep.
An 80-year-old man and a 50-year-old woman.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Ain't that fucking nuts, bitch?
Dude.
That's scary to me. Fuck that.
We could be talking about you being murdered right now.
Well, I'm kind of glad I didn't.
I mean, yeah, me too.
That would suck really fucking bad, dude.
Yeah.
But yeah, so serial killer, Angel, Marito, Renedez. Go look him up on YouTube or Google, and there's another case you can look at. And there's multiple deaths. So he would just bludgeon them to death or beat them and rape them and shit like that. So, and it was mostly, I think it was a man and a woman, actually. Yeah. They were, one of the couple from Lexington was actually on I Survived.
Holly Dunn Pendleton.
Yeah. Yeah.
University of Kentucky student walking along.
Her friend got murdered right in front of her.
Tracks with his girlfriend, 20-year-old Holly Dunn Pendleton, when the two were attacked by Resendez. Who
was that in 97?
Mayor to, yes.
That had to be the year he was here.
With a 52-pound rock. Resendez raped and severely beat Pendleton, who nearly died. Pendleton, the only known survivor of an attack by other than Brandy.
Other than Brandy Breeding, motherfucker.
Went on to appear on the Biography Channel television programs I Survived. Damn, you could have been on I Survived.
I could have been on I Survived. He wasn't catching me, bitch. He was not catching me. I don't give a fuck. I just remember that day. I'm so glad I didn't smoke before I went because I ought to be dead right now.
Yeah.
I got high after the fact because I was so fucking mad upset. that. I really think I peed on myself, honestly. I can't remember, but it was freaky. He was a little executed.
Oh, he was death penalty. Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, cool. I guess there's a happy ending there.
Yeah, he's dead. Fuck him.
Richard Hooten's not dead. I think he's still alive.
He's probably still in prison.
Yeah.
So what about you?
What about me?
What's the next case you want to talk about? That was a long pause, you guys. But
I know, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. I was...
Oh, you know what I want to talk about?
Ew.
Ooh, okay, this is good. I know you've seen the documentary, There's Something Wrong with Aunt Diane.
Oh, my God, y'all. If you need to watch a documentary about something, this is the documentary, and I think it's on HBO.
Yeah, it's HBO.
There's Something Wrong with Aunt Diane. It's on HBO Max. Go fucking watch it. And there you go. Now tell us about...
Basically, what happened was there was this woman named Diane, and mm-hmm. she had two kids. She had a son and a daughter, and she was married. Her brother had three children. They were all three girls, and they went on a camping trip. I'm sorry. I'm just trying.
Oh, no, you're fine. I know it by heart. They went on a camping trip.
I do, too. I was just trying to... see when it happened, what year.
What was it?
2009. So, yeah, and this happened in 2009. I think this was, like, somewhere in, like, upstate New York or some shit. And they had went camping that weekend, and they left, and basically what happened was, we can kind of fill in the other parts after I say what happened, but basically she got on the highway going the wrong way, and
she was in a Dodge Caravan.
Yeah, it was a big fucking van,
like mine.
And she hit like three different cars, I think.
Head on.
Killed eight people, including herself.
Yeah, and everybody in her car but one.
Yeah, the only person that survived was her son, who was like 2 years old.
Yeah,
yeah, and so all three of her nieces died.
Yeah.
She died.
She was literally had all of her nieces in the car with her. Like her niece. Could you imagine taking your nephews and nieces and going somewhere, and on your way back you were the one responsible for their deaths?
Yeah. Well, so, and they pulled like surveillance cameras, so they're trying to figure out what happened. And they had gotten like a phone call. Her brother had gotten a phone call like 10 minutes before they crashed.
Yeah.
And it was one of his daughters. And they said there's something wrong with Aunt Diane. She's driving crazy. We don't know what's going on.
She's like, saying shit. Yeah. She's being irate.
So he told her to have their aunt pull over, and he would meet them wherever they were on the highway.
And there was multiple police calls in about the van going the wrong way down, mm-hmm. saying that she was irate, even acting crazy. But
and she was seen on the side of the road puking.
Yeah, puking on the side of the road. But then also, before she got on the expressway, she was seen in a store, normal looking. No, didn't look
she
agitated.
She was asking for Tylenol.
Asking for Tylenol. But that's it. Like, that was it. She didn't act crazy. She wasn't looking crazy. She wasn't doing nothing nuts in the video. Literally walks back out to the car, and moments later, they're dead. All of them.
Yeah, so obviously they did, like, a...
toxicology.
Yeah, toxicology report. And that came back like a fucking Christmas tree.
It sure the fuck did.
I know that's not really the right...
that's how I say it.
Some
terminology? That shit came back. She was drunk as fuck.
They usually say that for, like, when they spray Luminol on stuff. Yeah. It lit up like a Christmas tree. No, this bitch's fucking toxicology report lit up like a goddamn Christmas
tree. They said she was drunk, that she was on... drunk.
She had THC in her system. How much was her blood alcohol level?
Her blood alcohol level was high.
0.19.
Yeah, so I don't know what that is, but
and
I'm
it
pretty
said
sure it's high.
Approximately 6 grams of alcohol was in her stomach that had not yet been absorbed into her blood. So she was actively drinking... while she was driving, there was vodka found in her car.
Yeah.
Clearly, something happened. Nobody knows what happened exactly. But she fucking drank and drove.
Mm-hmm.
And killed a bunch of people.
And so
storybook should be shut after that, right?
You would think. And then they made a documentary because her husband was like, her
bitch ass fucking husband.
Her husband's like, she never drinks, okay, ever. Cool. There's something like she's against it, like this and that. Like she might have smoked weed over the weekend, but she was not a drinker. She would have never gotten in the car with them people drinking and driving. He's literally had his whole family turn against him. And what's sad is her brother, right? Her brother, whose kids that she killed, all of them turned her back on him too, because they're like, literally, toxicology does not fucking lie,
right?
What I'm saying?
And sitting here trying to act like it does lie, and that they, like, I think he even got like another toxicology report done because he was like, the first one was wrong and all this stuff,
right?
I'm trying to read something.
So basically he was like saying that it wasn't, you know.
Oh yeah, they exhumed her body.
Yeah,
to have her hair retested, and it said that the degradation of the fluids over time was likely to result in lower alcohol and THC readings, but several toxicology report experts said that the result should be similar to the previous test if the fluid samples had been properly stored, which they weren't.
Yep.
So that explains that. And
it's a fucked up situation, all right, you guys? Yeah. It's a really fucked up.
And then could you imagine, like, just losing all three of your kids?
I would die. Like, I have nieces and nephews. Like, if it's just confusing to me. It's really confusing to me because I think you don't want to think that somebody was drinking. Like, why would she do that? She was a normal, upstanding citizen. But there's a bunch of alcoholics in this world that...
She was a closet alcoholic.
Yeah. She had a lot of shit going on.
She drank a lot and nobody ever knew it. Yeah. She hid it really good.
Yeah. She was very well at hiding it, thinking that she could do it. She had a hangover, I bet. Mm-hmm. Probably a really bad headache. And she thought, well, if I take some shots, I'm withdrawing.
Right.
If I take some shots vodka... And
not withdrawing, but taking shots because I'm hungover, which
right.
that fucking helps, I will tell you.
Yeah. So maybe that's what she was doing, you know?
Maybe, but.
Okay, hold on. I'm goofy and I just clicked on my live. We're going to have to edit that out in our. But yeah. She literally messed. The good thing about the story, I mean, there is no good thing. Literally, those kids lost their lives. And what freaked me out the most about that motherfucking documentary was they show her dead body.
Oh, they did.
Like, her being taken out of the van.
That was fucked up. I did, yeah, I saw that. I was like,
I mean, I'm all for that rad ass shit, but I'm saying right then and there.
It was scary.
It scared me. She looked like she was alive.
You just Google it.
Yeah, she looked like she was alive. It didn't even look like she was dead, did it? She had no problem with... How the fuck does she not have... She had a couple cuts. But, like, that's what I don't understand. Like, how did she die? Like, I wonder what was her cause of death. Blunt force trauma or...
Probably. That's usually what it is in car accidents.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know. But I will say that... That documentary is still, because he was like, it was probably a toothache. That's why her head was hurting.
Yeah.
Remember? And I was thinking, what if she really wasn't a drunk? We'll never know, but what if she really wasn't a drunk?
Well, then why would she have been drinking?
Maybe a toothache so bad. I've had toothaches so bad that.
To make you drink while you drive your.
I mean, I would not even be driving all them fucking kids around. I'm like, yeah, you call your mama because I'm not coming to get you. No, but it's just crazy to me that. I don't know. That documentary fucks with my head a lot.
Yeah.
Just like that fucking last week's episode, the haircut thing. I'm never going to get over that.
No.
Like, ever. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I don't think I will either.
That fucked me up. So now it's my turn again.
Yeah, that wasn't really a story. That was kind of just
That was just a documentary you guys got to check out. We're doing a free kind of a free episode today, so you're just going to have to bear with us. But another popular case here in Louisville is Melvin Ignato and Brenda Sue Schaefer. And me and Haley fucking love this case. Of course, Haley's read the case, read the book, and I'm still not finished with the book.
You never read it?
I've read a little bit of it, but, you know, I'm trying to get to it.
It's a long, and there's a lot of fucking information to read.
Yeah. So, Brenda Sue Schaefer grew up in Middletown here. She was a nursing assistant. She was a very, very Catholic, German Catholic, grew up in a very German Catholic family. Mm-hmm. Big family. Her mother, Elsie, almost died giving birth to her, actually.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's, or did.
She was like a rainbow baby or
yeah.
something like that.
Okay, so before.
I have a bunch of notes on this case.
Before Brenda Sue was born, she had a baby beforehand and the baby died. And that's what made her so close with Brenda when she was born.
And she was the only girl, too.
And she was the only girl. So there was that. So fast forward, Brenda grows up in high school. She meets this guy named Pete Van Zandt. Van Pelt. Why'd I say Van Zandt?
You were thinking of
The dude off of
Leonard Skinner.
Yes, Leonard Skinner. Bad. So they fell in love. He ends up being really bad with money. And this was another thing that they talked about a lot was Brenda was very prude, very much a prude. She didn't like having sex. She was kind of like an asexual person, didn't like fucking, okay? There's some people out there that just don't like fucking, and that's okay. And that was his biggest complaint. They ended up, so shortly before they were supposed to get married, Brenda and Pete, her brother, who was a Middletown police officer, was murdered, which made them set it back another year. And they eventually did get married, and of course that dissolved. One night, Brenda's friend, she ended up having to move back home, and of course she felt like a failure. Her dad was real you're a fucking failure. You don't leave your fucking marriage. Somebody that would probably cuss me out right about now.
Right.
But just dealing with shit like that. So that's why she didn't want to go back. She ended up going back and then her friend took her out one night and was like, I got this perfect guy you should meet. And she's like, okay, cool. He was not a perfect guy. He was the fucking worst of the worst. A narcissistic motherfucker.
The literal worst of the fucking worst.
Literally the worst.
Literally the worst.
Oh my God. Look up Melvin Ignato, because this is a big case. And I'm pretty sure everybody that's listening to us that's my age, you were born in the 80s, so you know about it a little bit if you paid attention to your grandparents and shit. Yeah. But I'm telling y'all right fucking now, this fucking case is crazy. So, fast forward, she meets Melvin. He's whining and dining, and he love bombs her. He does all the fucking great things that narcissists do when they're in the beginning. They love bomb you. They give you all this attention. They're trying to tell you, hey, I'm perfect for you. And they basically make themselves be your perfect man. So you get trapped in very quickly, and then you're like, it's like a fucking whirlwind, you know? You're over here like, oh my God, man of my dreams, until it's not. And then he started being real controlling, I don't know, was he abusive to her? They said that he would just be very...
Yeah, he tried to fucking drug her.
Oh, yeah, we're not even there. So he one time...
I would call that abuse, I mean.
They went to Gatlinburg. And she literally told her sister or somebody that that she was roofied. And when she woke up, he basically fucking raped her butthole and shit. Because he was a very highly sexual person. And he would be like, why don't you want to do this? Well, on the side, he also, what was old girl's name?
Who?
You know, old girl.
Oh, girl. Mary fucking Enlow. Mary Short Enlow.
Mary
In-law.
Short.
Hold on, what was it?
Mary Short.
Why can I not think of things?
He had a side bitch, okay?
Sure.
And he lived at his mother's house, mind you. Didn't he? Yeah, he lived at his mom's house in the Middletown somewhere. And
Marianne Shore
lived off Poplar Road, okay? And that was his side bitch, basically. Basically, this was a side bitch. He was fucking Brenda.
She was ugly.
She was fucking beat to death. Marianne Shore was fucking ugly as fuck.
But she
did everything that he wanted to sexually. This, is another reason why.
Because she was ugly.
Yeah, because she didn't give a fuck. She really loved Melvin.
Yeah, he chloroformed her.
Yeah.
In Gatlinburg.
He chloroformed her.
While she was sleeping.
Yep, he did. Yep.
Yeah. And he said that it was something that he brought back.
To help her relax.
From China to help her relax because she had been too high strung.
Yeah.
And all this shit. And
I'm sorry I wouldn't let you fuck me in my asshole.
Yeah.
But Pat, clearly, fucking give me goddamn chloroform because that's what I need. God damn. So, he chloroforms her. At this point, I'm pretty sure she was like, well, I gotta get the fuck out of here.
Right.
And she does. She ends up, trying to break it off with him. And this is what puts in the chain of events that what happens. So, one night, she's telling, her mom, I just want to give him back his jewelry. I'm done. I don't want to be with him no more. And they tried to beg her not to go and meet him alone. They did. They tried. But she still did anyway. So she went to meet him. And he's about 3 a.m. He calls Elsie. Or Elsie calls him and says, "Have you? Is Brenda with you?"
Yeah.
Because at the time, Brenda was kind of talking back to her ex, like, Jim. Yeah. Jim that she was in love with. It was a guy that was her boss or some shit, right? Yeah. And so she basically was talking to him. So when Elsie, her mother, called Melvin Ignato and said, "Hey, have you seen Brenda?" Or, yeah, "Have you seen Brenda?" And he said, "No, I sent her home early, you know, earlier she went home." Elsie didn't question it because she didn't want to get Brenda in trouble. She thought Brenda was out with Jim.
Jim, yeah.
So by the morning time, everybody's panicking. And, of course, being the narcissist that he is, he had to be in the middle of it. So he comes in there, and they said that he was acting so fucking extra, you guys, that he was in there like, "Oh, my God, Brenda, where is she? I cannot live without her." Even though she literally was just breaking up with him.
Right.
Like, he was over the top. Y'all know when people fake. He was literally faking, over the top. And police even said, you know, "Hey, Basically just saying, like, hey, this is, something's up, you know, something's wrong." Oh, thank you, Tabitha. Oh, God, I need to exit. I forget sometimes that we're live. But she basically was saying, something's wrong, and I think he fucking did it. But there was no fucking proof. Nobody could say anything. So she was literally, so that later that day, they found her car. Where'd they find her car? Was it? I'll get it confused. Was it on 65?
No, it was on fucking 64.
64, which is going downtown, right?
Well, the area she was going was like, it was like right by like where her house was, which is in St. Matthews.
Yeah, so.
Which is like the East End.
When they got to the car, which is a very common thing here, everything was out of it because any car you leave on the side of the road gets robbed here.
Right.
It don't matter what the fuck you're doing, it's getting robbed. So, they start, you know, looking for her and everything. And still this whole time, Melvin Ignato's over there like, "I don't know what's going on." You know? Fast forward 2 years, right? Because she didn't get caught. Like, she didn't get found or nothing.
Yeah.
And, Haley, do you know more about this? How they got found? Was it Mary that, they were doing like a wiretap on Mary and Melvin? But Melvin's not stupid.
They had, mentioned her name like in the investigation, and so they decided to interview Marianne.
Yeah.
And then she eventually immediately confessed and was like, "I helped plan it. I took pictures of him assaulting her,"
right,
and all this stuff. And
we'll tell you what happened in just a moment, what actually happened when we get to that point.
Yeah. So they interviewed her, and she, like, you know, gave everything away. And she also led them to the grave that was behind her house.
Yeah, and they still couldn't find the body, right, at first.
So,
I got a cold, you guys. Sorry.
I'm sorry. This is really upsetting.
I don't know what I'm going to do. I probably sound like I really am crying.
But yeah, her body was buried for over a year.
Yeah, literally.
And it was like super decomposed, and her autopsy had showed that she had been like sexually abused and like all this other stuff. But like the DNA was like
gone,
pretty much.
Yeah.
So they convinced Marianne
to wear a wire. That didn't work. That didn't work because he's not stupid. How he got caught was the house ended up getting.
Well, hold on.
So he sold the house, right?
We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Okay.
He hasn't even murdered her yet. Well, yeah, I guess he did murder her.
Yeah, because we found her body. Anyways,
basically, they lured her over to Mary's house.
So that night, they, when she went to meet him with the jewelry to give it back, this is why, if you're in a domestic violence situation, never go back or have multiple people with you at that time when you do go back. Do not go back alone, ever. They will draw you back in and then murder you.
And use their ex-girlfriend to fucking do it.
So he gets there, meets her, and then he gets in her car and tells her, "Can you take me somewhere?" I think it's like to a friend's house.
Yeah.
So they go into Mary's house, and she's in there thinking, "I'm just taking him somewhere, and then I'm going to probably go home."
Yeah.
Well, they get into Mary's house, and that's when all fucking hell breaks loose. They trap her in that house. They tie her to the living room table, the coffee table, and they literally do everything that you would not probably want done to you in your holes and your mouth. He literally fucked her in her mouth and her ass. He was literally raping her, doing all kind of bondage, crazy shit, hitting her with paddles and shit.
There was a lot of really nasty stuff. A lot of nasty.
What did you read? You can read it out loud.
I can't remember exactly, but it was something along the lines of like, he like stuck his fingers like in her butt or something.
Yeah.
And then like made her like smell it and then like made him marry it.
He would like stick his fingers in her. It's fucked up. He would stick his fingers in her and then have Mary like touch it. He would have Mary do things to her, and there's nothing that she could have.
And she was snapping pictures the entire time.
Yeah, Mary was taking pictures the entire time. Brenda was horrified, of course. But then something happens, and he ends up taking her to Mary's bedroom, and he's like, basically, that's when he like tells her, "I'm gonna let you go, but you can't, you know, this and that." He ends up like chloroforming her, and then wrapping her with duct tape, like head to knees.
Yeah, with like,
and like a fetal position with garbage bags on top of her, wrapping her. Basically, she was alive when he put her in the bag and wrapped her up, but she was like, she had been chloroformed, so she was passed out, but she probably never came to again. I would hope fucking not, because could you imagine waking up after you've been like, I mean, they fucking basically killed her. Well, she was dead probably after when he buried her alive.
He took her jewelry before he buried her.
Took her jewelry, and that's how he got caught, was the jewelry, because he hid the jewelry in his house that he was in.
And the film hadn't been developed.
Yeah, he hid all that shit
in, like, the baseboards of his fucking house. He goes on fucking trial for this. Okay?
Yes, he goes on trial in the middle of all this and gets off. He gets not guilty and everything.
Completely.
So they couldn't get him for murder again. And he literally, so when they find all this evidence, he only got perjury.
Well, hold on. It was like 5 years or how many years later. It was like after that. He sold his house.
Yeah.
And they were cleaning like the house, and somebody who was working on the house found the jewelry, the film, all that shit underneath in the baseboards of the house.
And called the police instantly, because the police was already still on it. They knew that he had something.
Everybody knew he got off.
Everybody knew that he had pictures, because old girl said it, but everybody thought that he destroyed it. They couldn't prove it.
Yeah.
So when...
And Mary, when she came in, because she was testifying against Mel.
Yeah.
And she came in with the fucking, like, mini skirt and, like,
they hated her.
Oh, they hated her. She was awful.
She was the worst person, which she really was. But.
Yeah, well, she just came in, like, she dyed her hair blonde. She just looks completely ridiculous. And she was, like, laughing and, like, you know, flirting on the stand. So it basically, like, took all validity out of her testimony.
Yeah, they didn't believe her.
So the jury ended up believing Mel.
They ended up believing Mel.
And it was his trial was right before the holidays. And they say that is like that if you have a trial around the holidays, you're more likely to get acquitted for whatever it is that you've done.
Oh, damn, I didn't know that.
Because people don't want to be there in jury during the holidays, and they have a little more compassion, and you know what I mean? So, like, that also kind of played a part in it, too. But, so, he got off, and years later, they find the film, they develop the film, see, literally him murdering, raping, sodomizing everything. They see everything. They get all the fucking shit. So can't be tried two times for the same fucking thing in America. Good job, America.
Yeah.
But
double jeopardy.
Except for fucking Amanda Cox. I feel like she went on like 5 trials.
God, how many?
But
yeah, but wasn't she in a different country?
I don't know. Oh, yeah. God. Well, she was, but yeah. Anyway, so double jeopardy. He fucking, how much time did he serve?
5-6 years?
Like 6 or 7 years or something.
Y'all
want to
hear
that.
The funny thing about what
about
happened?
How when he died?
Yeah.
That's my
you
favorite
can tell.
Part. Okay. So you know how he like tied her to like this coffee table and like, you know, did all this stuff to her? Well, Mel had like just gotten out of prison, like I think a few years earlier or something.
Yeah.
And he was old. He was really old. And he ended up like, I don't know if it was like a why he fell or
he's old. He had a blood disorder or some shit like old people have.
Yeah. So he just fell and he fell into a glass coffee table
and died alone. Bled to death.
To death.
Yeah.
If that's not fucking karma.
I don't know what is. So he died eventually. Good for him. Fuck him. But look, check out that book. What was it? The Bob Hill by Bob Hill.
What is it called?
But check that book out. That's a
good
book.
Double Jeopardy.
Double Jeopardy.
Obsession, Murder, and Justice Denied.
Yeah. And that's a really good Louisville fact. Louisville murder. It was kind of like.
It was like Louisville's O.J. Simpson.
It exactly was that. Yeah. That it was.
Because O.J. Simpson got off too. So.
Yeah. For all the murders he did.
Right.
Or that he covered for. Who knows? I'm going to look more into it. But
we
think.
We all know O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
Killed people.
Oh,
let's
yeah.
Let's be real.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
So, what is. Going? 1 hour.
Not too bad.
Not too bad, huh?
Yeah.
So, what was another case that you liked? This was our idea for tonight, to just name up three places and, you know, figure out what we liked.
Okay. The cheerleader murders. That one's kind of interesting.
I've never heard
There's
of
actually
it.
There's actually a Lifetime movie about it with Tori Spelling in it.
Huh? What it's called. Well, she stabbed in front of her house and
yes.
walked. What is the name of that fucking movie? I've been looking for that movie my whole life.
Hold on, hold on.
And she's like, Daddy, you know?
Yeah.
And she dies
spelling.
On the porch? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I remember watching that with my grandma.
Hold on. God damn it.
That's fucking cool, man.
Bernadette.
She said, OJ did that shit. You ain't lying. OJ did do it. And I know he had an accomplice. But I don't want to get started on that.
Death of a Cheerleader was the movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna look that up.
But they said that another working title for it is A Friend to Die For.
A Friend to Die.
I don't know.
Do you remember A Killer Among Friends with Kelly Kapowski?
Yes.
That's one of my favorite fucking movies.
Yes.
It made me cry
Kelly
so bad.
Kapowski, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's not a real name. That's on Saved by the Bell.
Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
There we go.
But yeah, and do you remember that movie from, like, I think it was in the 90s? It was called Face on a Milk Carton. Or,
yeah.
You know the girl that was in that movie? She was the one that played the killer in The Death of a Cheerleader.
My mind is blown.
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No.
I remember that milk on a... I remember that.
Face on a Milk Carton.
Yeah, Face on a Milk Carton.
I was always kind of pissed at that because, like, I felt like the story, like, sounded like it should be more, like, kidnappy, and it really wasn't. It was
yeah.
just like, oh, we really wanted a baby, so we stole one.
Right. Hey, I just wanted to have that baby. I don't ever get that.
What?
People that are crazy and, like, fake pregnancies and steal babies. Like, they're not going to get caught. Where's the logic? They have to be in a different mania. There has to be a lot of mental illness to do that because you're clearly not fucking thinking it through.
Right.
I mean, there is people that get away, but eventually it's going to come out. The kid is going to have to grow up. Did they ever think about that?
What?
Like, when you kidnap a kid, like,
oh, yeah.
you don't realize that motherfucker's going to have to grow up
well,
and you're going to have to get a birth certificate. That would stress me out.
Face on a milk carton.
True. True.
You know? Okay, yeah. So, the cheerleader, that's what I call it, the cheerleader murders. I don't know if that's it necessarily. That's what I like to call it, okay? So, shut up.
Let her do what she wants to
do,
you guys.
Let me do what I want to do. All right, so there was this girl who was, like, the popular girl.
I know someone.
Kristen Costas was her name. Kirsten. Or Kirsten.
Kirsten?
I like Kirsten better.
I like her.
Kirsten.
I like it.
Kirsten. Kirsten Costas. Okay. So this happened in 1984 at a city in California, Orinda, California. And basically there was, like, Kirsten, who was the popular girl. And they had, like, this little group. And it was called...
It's always starting with a
group. They called themselves the Bobolinks.
Oh, God.
I don't know what that stood for. But it was, like, a sorority, like... It's pretty much just, like, every
fucking,
like,
local high school, yeah.
That you see, and it's like, oh, we never let anyone into our group.
Like...
You know what I mean? So,
fuck you,
it's
group,
like
bitch.
That. It's like a group. Like, that, you know what I mean? All the popular girls. So, she there was another girl who was less cute and less popular. And she wanted, like, she had, like, wanted to be a part of this group, but, like, they kind of, like,
used her?
Kind of.
Didn't like, really kinda, like her. Her.
Like, made fun of her, like, stuff like that. Her name was Bernadette Prati.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, basically, one night, she called Kirsten and lured her with, like, a phony invitation to, like, some dinner for her bobolinks group or whatever. And so she showed up or whatever, and Bernadette was going to drive her to the party. But then Kirsten, like, figured out that there was no party.
Mm.
And so she got pissed, and she was like, why the fuck did you bring me here? You know, and, like, she called her, like, weird and, like, all, like, Kirsten called Bernadette weird and all this stuff. And apparently
right.
Bernadette didn't like that very much.
Don't call Bernadette weird. weird.
weird.
Weird. You're beard. Fucking weird here. Beard. I'm going to kill you.
Your beard's weird.
Excuse me. No, I don't do drugs. I have allergies. I'm about to edit out me sniffling through this whole fucking thing. That's what I was thinking about.
So there was a guy that was sitting in his car, which was, like, he was, like, a friend of Kirsten's or whatever.
Right.
And he, like, saw them, like, in front of their house or whatever, and they had, like, were having, like, an argument. And he just thought that they were just arguing or whatever. And then all of a sudden, like, he sees Kirsten fall to the ground. And so he goes over there, and, like, she's been stabbed five times.
God damn. With a knife.
And, like, nobody... Like, he didn't, like, he saw Bernadette, but he didn't know who she was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he had no idea who she was. Like, I think it was dark at the time.
Even her mom and them didn't know that she was going out with Bernadette, right?
No. Okay. Because they weren't friends.
Yeah.
Like, they were, I don't know. Like,
secret friends?
It was
friends?
Weird. They weren't secret friends, but it was like.
You think I want to be your secret
Bernadette,
fucking friend?
Like, wanted to, like, be.
Her best friend?
With her. Like,
maybe an obsession with her?
Yes, kind of. I think that was kind of what
That's
it was.
Weird. Have you ever been like that in high school where you like crave to be somebody's friend?
No.
That's weird. That's a mental illness, y'all. And I'm fucking mentally ill, and I'm telling you, I wouldn't be over here like, oh my god, be my
single
friend.
Single white female.
Shit. I wouldn't be over here like,
have you ever seen Single White Female?
Yes, I have.
I love that movie.
It's weird. I don't understand the logic behind being so obsessed with somebody. I mean, I have to chalk it up with mental illness, but could you imagine? Why would you be so obsessed with somebody you kill them? Wouldn't that have been... Do you get what I'm saying?
No,
like,
yeah,
we've talked about this before in the past.
No.
Like, why kill them if you're obsessed with them? That's so weird to me.
Because if they don't accept you, then you want them to die.
Me, you guess, love somebody so much that you
took,
want them to
it
die.
It took police, like, a long time to figure out
who that
it was
Bernadette?
Yeah. So, like, they had interviewed, like, all these people. And there was this girl
How'd they find out?
There was a girl who was in the hospital with them. And she had, like, originally been a part of the Bobolinks, like, sorority or whatever.
Yeah.
But she ended up going to, or she ended up, like, leaving, like, the group. And she started, like, dressing, like, gothy and, like, dark and like witchy type of thing. So people originally thought it was her because
right,
like,
she got weird.
Like, oh, she's fucking
not weird. She just went to a different.
But it's the fucking 80s, 90s. There
so
was
yeah, you can't
panic
be
going on.
Yeah, the satanic
you know?
Panic.
I mean, I didn't really come along until like mid-90s.
Fine line between love and hate.
I mean, it was still satanic panic was still a thing.
Oh yeah,
so
and I'm pretty sure she's gonna talk about that in the next episode, next case that she's probably gonna tell after I tell mine. Are you gonna go into that? You ain't gonna go into that tonight.
Yeah,
she's in love with fucking the West Memphis 3 movies, all of it. And that is another documentary.
Still didn't write me back.
That is another documentary that you guys need to check out, Lost Paradise.
Paradise Lost.
There we go. See? This is why I have you. And that's why in the beginning of our episode it says
Liars, infidels, and fools.
Yeah, because it comes from Paradise Lost.
Paradise Lost.
I knew it. And it's about Damon Echols. You know the rest of the names. They was on, wasn't they on death row?
Yeah.
For murdering three boys, and come to find out they never did it. We still don't know who did it, but I mean, we know Terry. Terry
Hobbs.
Terry Hobbs. We know it was you. Yeah. It was one of the boys' stepdads, which makes more sense to me now that I think about it.
But not Mark Byers.
R.I.P. Mark.
I know, right?
R.I.P. Mark. Yeah, that made her devastated. She loved him. We was going to interview him. That was our dream.
I really did.
We were going to go down to Arkansas.
I was trying so hard to, like,
we're doing it. We're going to go down to Arkansas, and we're going to fucking do this case. And then I want to go to California and do the Golden State Killer and just look around everywhere there because...
We need to do that one, too.
It's so much. We're not going to unload that here because that's a lot.
Yes, and we got off topic again.
We sure did. Bernadette.
Took them 6 months to figure out who...
Killed Bernadette, yeah.
No, not killed Bernadette.
Or killed Bernadette. Bernadette Kirsten. Killed Kirsten.
Yep. So... Bernadette was interviewed, and she had an alibi, but they never verified her alibi.
Oh, because they was like, oh, well, it wasn't this girl.
She even passed a lie detector test.
Yeah, because if you're crazy, you can pass a lie detector test. You want me to tell you how?
How?
Because you believe your own lie, so it's not a lie to you.
Yeah.
Like me, if I were to do a lie detector test, I'm so crazy, I could pass it. I would just make myself believe that that's what happened.
Yeah.
And mentally ill people tend to pass those kind of tests with flying colors because of what they do. And there's other things you can do. Taking Xanaxes beforehand. I don't know why I'm talking about this. Why am I telling you how to pass a lie detector test? Don't do it. Don't listen to me.
I was like, why are you telling me this?
Don't listen to me in my life of crime. We don't want to do that. There's no way to pass a lie detector test. Anyway, they're not admissible in court, so it wouldn't fucking matter if you passed or failed. Get up and walk out. And I don't know why, how many times I gotta say this to somebody. Get a fucking lawyer when you're speaking to police. Anybody. In any way, don't just say you're gonna speak to a lawyer. Not saying nothing against cops, because I support cops 100%. I'm just saying, there's some people that don't know the law, and they tend to get caught up in shit when it has nothing to do with them.
It's very easy to get caught up.
It is. It really is.
So they finally figured out that she was the murderer because she ended up writing a confession to her mother.
Damn.
And like, she gave it to her mom, and she was like, don't read this until after I'm already gone.
Oh, God.
Like,
where was she going? She kill herself?
No. I'm not really sure where she went, but she ended up leaving. So her mom called the police, and then they ended up like finding her and catching her. And they were trying to, like, they knew that she killed her because she confessed to it, but they were trying to determine whether or not it was premeditated.
Ah, okay.
So the fact that she had a knife in her car, they were like, why do you have a knife in your car? Hmm. And she tried to say that her sister even testified for her and said that she kept the knife in her car to cut, like, vegetables for, like, her lunch or something.
What the fuck kind of weird shit is that?
And the prosecution was like, no.
No wonder she didn't have no friends. She's over fucking...
Nobody uses an 18-inch long fucking butcher knife to cut tomatoes.
She was fucking Jeff Ramsey-ing it up in the goddamn... Is that his name?
Yeah.
Who'd Ramsey? I don't know. Jeff is his name. What's his name?
Who is Jeff Ramsey?
I don't know. I think
Gordon Ramsey.
Gordon Ramsey. She was...
Someone's Jeff Ramsey.
It's a Louisville... cop, like a Louisville fucking aircaster guy, or fucking what is it? Anyway, Gordon Ramsay in the goddamn corner. I wonder why she had no fucking friends.
Right.
Would you want to be a friend with a bitch that cut her vegetables up in a 100 degree car? I wouldn't.
No.
Goodbye, Bernadette. Peace out, bitch. Right. You ain't getting in my group.
Yeah.
Fucking weirdo.
She ended up actually getting, like, she got, I don't know exactly what she was charged with, if it was like manslaughter or premeditated, I don't know. But she ended up only fucking, she only got sentenced to a maximum of 9 years. And she was released after 7 years. At the age of 23.
So she got away with murder, basically. I bet you her parents were pissed.
Yeah, and now, what's her tits? Bernadette, she...
What's up with her now?
She's like a fucking, she's got like a good job and shit. I can't remember. I looked her up.
You know, she was probably bullied by them a lot, I would think.
Well, yeah.
We ain't going to hear that side of the story, though. You'll hear the Lifetime movie side.
I would bully her, too.
I'd bully her, but, you know, at the end of the day, you can't be that mean to somebody and expect them not to do nothing back to you.
No, I mean, I would bully
Of course,
her.
Don't murder anybody, but I'm sorry. If you're fucking bullying somebody to the point to where they feel useless and they want to hurt themselves, you're a piece of shit.
I'm pro-bullying. I'm just kidding.
Bullying makes you tougher is what she thinks.
I'm not pro-bullying. I just think people sometimes need to get thicker skin. That's it.
Yeah. Now, I'm all for thicker skin, but doing straight up evil shit to somebody for no reason at all.
Well, I don't really know how evil they were to her is the thing.
I mean, true. Yeah, we don't know, but it's just a guess of mine.
I don't think they were like super, I don't know though. Like the movie, there's a lot of stuff in the movie that's like not true. Like with the what actually happened.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I get it.
There it is.
Hell yeah. So. We're going to take a travel back in another Kentucky case, and it's Brooklyn Farthing. Brooklyn Farthing. Is she a dead or is she alive? We don't know, but I'm going to tell you a story. Brooklyn Farthing vanished into thin air in a mysterious turn of events after spending the night with a man she had met at a party. She had never seen or heard. She was never seen or heard from again. And after sending a series of texts in which she said she was scared, the house Brooklyn was found, like the house that Brooklyn had actually stayed in, was set on fire. And there's still no sign of her cell phone. Investigation discovery is still a mystery. The dangerous house detailed this curious case and chronicles the ensuing police investigation in search of a missing girl. Now, this happened down in Berea, Kentucky, you know, at the time of her disappearance. Brooklyn was just 18 years old and lived in Berea with her mother, Shelby Tillery, and her stepfather, Randall Walker, and her two sisters, Tasha Thomas and Paige Farthing. As a graduation of Madison Southern High School, she was last seen the early morning of June 22nd, 2013, at a friend's house in the 100 block of Dillon Court in Berea, Kentucky. Fondly remembered by her mother as someone who loved sweets and baking. She was loved Girl Scouts, made, you know, knits, and then for people that were affected by Hurricane Katrina.
Talk about that last time.
Yeah, we did. On June 21st, the previous night, Brooklyn attended a party at the same house with her sister, a cousin, and some friends. After partying for some time, the girls she was with decided to leave. They did not find it suspicious when Brooklyn chose to stay back, as she had another friend at the party. This friend was supposed to give Brooklyn a ride home later that night. Just a tip, don't leave your fucking friends, no matter if they say they want to go. No matter if they say, I want to stay, say, well, I'm staying right there with you.
I did that one time, and I regretted it the next day, but she ended up being fine, but now we're not friends anymore, so.
Right. At the end of the day. I'm trying to save lives here, Haley.
She really wanted to stay at the bar.
Yeah. However.
An undisclosed reason.
We're not going to say why, but I think I know who you're talking about, because you told me the story before. However. That changed when they got into a small fight, the girl that she was supposed to be, you know, giving her a ride home, about a boy. And, of course, that bitch bounced and left Brooklyn to be on her own because I guess Brooklyn was more prettier and was getting attention.
I was that bitch in the story, though.
Right.
You know?
The friend then left.
The other side of it.
Right.
Because, like, sometimes, but for real, like, sometimes you tell them.
Don't get with this girl. Don't get with that dude. He's fucking doing you wrong.
Not even about getting with the dude. Just, like, I don't want to leave you here by yourself.
Right. You say it.
But they're like insistent on it.
Like, no, like, it's fine. It's fine.
At the end of the day, I'm like, all right, you know what? You're a fucking adult, and so am I. And if you're going to tell me that you want to stay, then you can fucking stay.
And she was just 18, too. So, you know. So the friend left without Brooklyn. Towards the end of the party, another of her friends needed a ride home. Brooklyn was spotted by a witness entering a car with this friend and Joshua Hensley, a man she met at the party. Joshua was later relieved to be her ex-fiance's friend. Shortly after they dropped,
she had an ex-fiance?
I guess so. At this point, you know how it is in Berea.
I guess.
Shortly after they dropped her friend off and returned to Joshua's house at around 4 a.m. the next morning, Brooklyn called her sister Paige and asked her to come pick her up. But Paige, being drunk, could not do so. Brooklyn then started texting other people to pick her up. Her friends received several texts, as did her ex-fiance, who was still in good terms with her. She texted her ex to pick her up after he was finished working around 4:26 a.m. She texted him again to hurry and that she was scared. The last text message that her ex received was at 5:30 a.m. saying, "Never mind, I'm okay. I'm going to a party in Rockcastle County." Her ex asked her who was she going with, but she never responded. And that was the last time anyone had heard from her. Joshua affirmed that Brooklyn stayed at his house. He said that he had last seen her that morning sitting on the couch smoking before he went out to tend to a horse. When Joshua returned home at 7 a.m. that morning, he found his house on fire and Brooklyn missing. So you mean to fucking tell me, Joshua, she went missing and caught your house on fire? That don't make no goddamn sense. Okay, but we'll keep going.
So he did it right.
Yeah, basically, Joshua did it. So that's where I'm going with. The blaze was extinguished before the house was destroyed and authorities. I think he killed her and was texting like her. I think she was dead probably within, you know.
He was pulling a Brian Laundrie.
Up until, hurry, come get me, that was her. And then he murdered her.
Yeah.
Probably raped her. Probably took her body and fed it to hogs or something out there in the country. People do. So, there was no sign of Brooklyn or her cell phone. Investigators determined that the fire had originated from the couch and had burned a hole in the floor. The police also found out that Josh was in the process of moving out and his house was in foreclosure. As a result, electricity and other utilities were cut off. And still to this day, Brooklyn has never been found.
What year did this happen?
2013. Hold on, let me go back up. 2013. To this date, there has been no news about Brooklyn's whereabouts. She is still missing, and the police have reportedly changed her status to endangered missing persons. The fire in Josh's house was ruled to be suspicious, and the police conducted a large-scale search in the Red Lick area. Cadaver dogs were used to comb through and nearby, and divers used, but still nothing has been found. So, do you think she's still alive, or do you think she was murdered? As Brooklyn was, yeah.
Dead as fuck.
As Brooklyn was never found, her current status is presently unknown to the public. Even though the police have not named a person of interest, they all assume that the dude did it. Her family fears that she might have been a victim of foul play, and that they claim that the fire was set off to distract people and make it impossible for Brooklyn to leave her clothes and belongings behind in a house.
I mean, why else would you fucking set a house on fire to burn evidence?
Exactly. So there's the Brooklyn Farthing. Not that's just a tidbit of it. If you want to learn about how, you know, more about it, Google it, and I'm pretty sure there's a bunch of podcasts. Actually, Crime and Crime Again, our friend Crime and Crime Again, did a really good in-depth episode on it, actually, and did some TikToks, and she's got like millions of likes on TikToks now, so I thought that's pretty awesome, and that's how I found out. I knew about this case.
We still gotta send her our promo.
We do, Chelsea. We gotta send you the promo.
Our season one promo, and we're now on season two.
Right, we are slow at things, and
I was thinking we need to this is off whatever, but we need to redo the anchor.
Yes, we do, because I'm like, good morning, Haley.
Not even that. I felt so weird. I had to put fucking weird, like, guitar music to the background of it.
The because the dog kept barking.
Was fucking wailing in the background. So it's like, and it was bad. I'm sorry that you have to listen to our anchor ads. We're going to try to get it together soon, okay?
Right. You know what? Deal with it, because it's how we get paid.
They're our only sponsor currently.
At the moment, yep. And we need more. So, if anybody wants to sponsor us, that would be freaking awesome. Let me know, and we'll send you our pay, whatever we need, what we need to do that shit. Haley deals with that shit. I'm here for the funny shit. We're going to keep it going with, what's the next case? Are you going to talk more? Or did the Springfield 3? Or did we want to talk about that?
We've done already.
Too many. They're probably confused as fuck right now.
No, they're like information overload.
Oh, it's not too bad. But I think I think that I like this style a little better. It's not as stressful. And I do like sometimes coming live and being able to reach people that way also.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people won't listen to podcasts. They'll just be like, let me watch Brandy because she's so beautiful. And I'm like, I know.
Oh, right.
Because I'm like a goddess, like an angel.
It's a hard problem to have.
You know how hard it is to have two beautiful co-hosts that are like models? It's really hard. We can't get nothing done because we're looking at ourselves all the time.
People are always looking at us and trying to get us.
That happened to me today. I thought, I was getting my food and this guy kept looking at me and I was thinking, what the fuck, bro? What the fuck are you looking at? Like, it was making me, I don't know why I get so angry, but like, I could have fought him when I was getting my canes. Like, he was just staring at me. I was thinking, dude, you want to do this right here? I'll drop this shit right now and beat the fuck out of you.
Oh, I thought you meant something else.
No.
Do you want to do this right here, man? I'll drop my
I got a van back here. I'll put these seats down. No joking. Gross. But, he was, like, just staring at me, and I was staring at him, and I was thinking, what the fuck, man? What's up? you know? Yeah. And he was like, I was looking at him, he's looking at me, I was like, do you got a fucking problem? And he was like, I'm very sorry, you're very beautiful. I was going to ask you for your number, but I was like, oh, my bad, and rolled off. Because right. I felt still, I was hostile. Like, I was like, the fuck you looking at, bro? Like, it's like I regressed back to my old school days and went fucking thugged out on this dude. And, well,
yeah.
Didn't get that number. But that was a funny week of mine. Yeah. I have a lot of funny episodes or funny things that I could talk to us about and keep going, but I'm not going to. Haley, what?
Before we get off here, I was going to talk about, remember that email?
Yeah.
The emails.
Actually, emails. We got multiple emails.
20 or 30 of them.
Yeah, we got like 20 or 30 emails from our website.
Okay, yep. And they were all asking us to cover same this case. Yep. And it's called, the names is Jennifer and Adriana Wicks. And I thought it was really weird because they gave, like, they reached out like fucking 50 times and they were like, here is her sister's email. She's trying to get as many people to cover this case as possible. So I'm like, all right, cool. So I send the chick an email and, she never responds. And I'm like, this is weird.
Mm-hmm.
So then I get a text message from I get a DM on Instagram. Mm-hmm. From another podcast host, and she said that she was wanting to see if we would cover this case, and she said, I'll send you all of my notes on it and, you know, all this stuff. And I'm like, cool, great, you know, can't wait to hear from you. Never hear from her again.
We've wrote her a lot too.
I've messaged her like numerous times since then, and I can't get anybody to write me back. So I'm like, I don't understand.
But I'm curious about the case. So the case,
it's so,
I don't
want to
cover it without,
so like gung ho about us covering it. Then when we reach out, like nobody.
But I don't want to cover it until we have them on board.
I don't either.
So if you're out there and you want to talk to us about it,
let us know.
Call us.
Respond to our email, please. We really want to talk to you.
We want to talk about the case, period, because I feel like it needs to have light shined on it.
Yeah. So.
And they're in Tennessee, so it's not that far. We can always go down there a weekend or some shit.
Yep. So, yeah. This was our fucking smorgasbord.
This was our very big smorgasbord of,
our charcuterie of...
I don't even know how... What the fuck is that?
Charcuterie.
Is that just like
true crime?
A fucking box with fruit on it?
It's like a cheese...
Like a meat, fancy...
Nut fruit.
You know those motherfuckers go for like $200.
It's like a grazing thing.
I can literally throw some shit from Kroger on a board.
Yeah, it's all about the presentation, though. It's all about the presentation.
The looks of it?
Yeah. It's not
fanciness?
It's not really about what is on it.
That is so weird to me.
Yeah. It's a whole thing.
That's really weird to me.
People have, like, businesses making those fucking boards. And I'm like, shit, I could probably do
that. I know you could do some shit like that. You do fancy shit.
I mean, how hard could it be to, like...
I'll fucking make some nuts, put some nuts, eat my balls, like, nuts. Balls. I'm a child. I need to get off of here. I can never take nothing serious, and I pray to God that none of the jobs that I've applied for the last week ever listen to me on this, because I will not get them. We can't do that.
Please hire me.
Please.
Help me, I'm poor.
I am really struggling right now. But, you guys, it's been a fucking blast. We've had fun.
I hope y'all had fun.
It's Thursday. I gotta roll out, get the fuck up out of here. That's what we gotta do. We got shit we gotta do tonight.
Yeah, we have lives.
We got a live going on. I gotta edit this. This week it's my turn to edit. And that's what we're doing. So also, I want to say that if you have any cases or want to know about anything, for one, you need to go on Apple Podcasts and rate our podcast. Regardless if you listen to it, you like it. I feel like if I have contact with you and you have not done this by now, we ain't friends, and fuck you, because you're not even doing anything to help support me. You know, we were just talking about this, how there's certain motherfuckers be like, oh, I know I wouldn't be into it. It's not about you being into it, brother. It's about you, and it's not even my brother, but it's not about you being into it. It's about you fucking literally supporting somebody that you know. Why wouldn't you want to support anybody and just be like, hey, you know what? I might not like this, but I'm going to still go and I'm going to rate it for her. And I'm still going to go do this because, you know, it'd be the fucking people you've known the longest that don't support you. And that's what's crazy. Yeah. It really is. I mean, all my bitches do, but I'm just saying, like, certain ones here and there, they don't.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Me and Haley's okay with that. If you don't like us and we're not your cup of tea, that's fine. Doesn't stop you from rating us. It's 2 seconds. You can rate us in a positive light. I would do the same for you if I didn't like your shit. You know what I'm saying? Even if it sucked to me, I'd be like, oh, well, fucking fantastic. I'll leave a fucking 10-mile paragraph and everything. You got to move at the same energy with people nowadays, and that's all I'm going to leave that on.
Yeah.
Because motherfuckers just like to take advantage of people.
So, yeah, check out, rate us on Apple Podcasts.
Yes.
Listen to us on whatever you listen to us on.
Yes.
Buy our merch.
Spotify.
We have merch.
iHeartRadio. Definitely buy our merch. And I'm going to have Haley make some cool-ass fucking shirts over here.
We need to get on that.
Because I think people would love them in that way. You know how you did that.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you guys can't see it on the podcast, but that's tuned to us on Facebook, on Easy Killer Podcast, and that page, and you will be able to see us on there live, being the goddesses that we are.
Yeah, it's hard sometimes.
It's really hard to be this good-looking. But I want to say, have a good night, and make sure you rate us, you stupid motherfucker.
Yeah,
I'll fucking kill you. Yes, and also, before I go, I just want to let you know, you need to keep it easy.
Killer.
Easy. Killer. Goodbye.